God will bless you. You know, we read about the men who pioneered this faith as far as like laying the foundation. Them men made sacrifices all the time. And I know many of you have. I'm not diminishing what you've done either. I'm just saying, but God does honor that. Amen. Well, I feel today I was praying and asking God just over the weekend. I've been wanting to start a series in the book of Hosea. We're not going to start that yet. I just felt just over the week, just some different things come to my mind. I preached these principles before. But, you know, sometimes God will rehatch something in your heart and want you to share it with the church. And I look back, I hadn't preached this since 2014 or preached from these verses since 2014. So if I have preached it here, you probably don't remember it because it's hard for me to remember it. Amen. And, you know, after you preach a few hundred sermons, usually you kind of forget which one you preached and all that. But the book of James chapter 5, if you'll go there with me. And I'm turning there myself. So book of James chapter 5. And this is a principle I feel like God will help us with this morning. Do trust you're here to listen. And please give me your attention just for a few moments. Amen. I've been in several services already this week. And I love church. I'm glad I'm here. Amen. Do trust you come to learn of His Word. James chapter 5 verses 17 and 18. And these are famous verses. Very familiar reading to you. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Amen. This refers back to, if you would remember, you don't have to really turn there with me, but this refers back to the book of 1 Kings. And you would remember in 1 Kings chapter 18, I'm going to read a few verses to you there in reference here, verses 41 and through 45 of 1 Kings chapter 18. It says these these famous words right here, this famous story. And Elijah said unto Ahab, "Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of the abundance of rain." So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, "Go up now and look toward the sea." And he went up and looked and said, "There is nothing." He said, "Go again 7 times. And it came to pass the 7th time he said, "Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand." And he said, "Go up, say unto Ahab, for he prepared thy chariot, and get thee down that the rain stop thee not." And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heavens were black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. You remember the story, how a supernaturally we admire the prayer life of Elijah here in the Bible. We know that he prayed, and there for 3.5 years it did not rain. That's a prayer life. Amen. When God gives you a word and you pray and you stand on that. But that wasn't just it. It wasn't that he just prayed and it quit raining. Amen. We know the story there, the showdown on Mount Carmel. And then we know that he prayed and God opened up the heavens again and rain did come down. I'm going to preach to you today, and I've relayed this maybe here before, on the position of faith. On the position of faith. And today I want to establish in your heart today of what it is to really have faith as a believer. We're not just talking about saving faith, but praying and having faith that God will move and God will do things. Now we understand that in the human realm we talk about faith a lot. We hear it all the time. It's a word that we are very familiar with, and we understand that often you hear these words that the just shall live by faith. But even today we operate in faith all the time. I know I've shared this with you recently, but we eat in restaurants and we go to pharmacies and we tell people all the time, we put faith in a lot of things. And it's amazing, I've said it before, how a doctor will scribble something on a piece of paper that you cannot read nor understand. You give it to another man in a pharmacy and you just trust that he's not giving you poison and he's giving you the right medicine in that bottle. I don't know about you, but I'm telling you, we have a lot of faith and those men that do those things. So we know this today, that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things that are not seen. And we have to understand this today, that Jude even goes on to say this, "But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." 2 Peter 1:5, it says this, "And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge." So we know that faith is very faithful. foundational. That's what that word there in Hebrews 11 and 1 means when you define that word, that faith is the substance. It means that faith is the ground. It is the confidence. It is the setting under of the believer. It is what you're standing on even this morning. Evidence, of course, means that there's proof there. So Christianity is built on this very basic thing, that faith, and without faith, there isn't much left to your faith, to your walk with God. Everything circles around this word that is called faith. Everything in Christianity that matters operates with faith. If you want grace, you have to depend on faith. You have to have faith in it. If you need faith, you have to have faith in that. Everything is laid by this. We understand if you need righteousness, you need faith. If you need salvation, you need faith. If you need victory, yes, you need faith. If you need holiness, you need faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Galatians 5 and 6, the only thing that counts, pretty much says there is faith expressing itself. And it goes on to us in Ephesians 2 and 8, that you are saved by grace through faith. So faith is very critical, and faith is very important. But we must understand this today. What does it mean to have a faith that trusts in God? Not just in your salvation, but knowing that God still moves today, trusting God in His promises that cannot fail. When the Bible says God has promised and God cannot lie to us, we have a storehouse in this Word here of things that God has promised us. How can we operate in that? How can we activate that? And what is faith that is pleasing to God? Three things I want to touch on this morning. The position of faith is number one. Number two, the test before you get that position. And number three, I want to talk to you about setting up a garrison and keeping your position in faith when it comes time to do that. When we read here today, I want to talk to you, number one, about the position of faith. When you deal with faith, you have to understand, when you kneel in faith, and when do you kneel in faith? Excuse me. And when do you rise in faith? So let me define that. There's times that you get on your knees and you pray and ask God to move in a situation. And you say, God, I need You to do this. God, I need You to heal. God, I need You to provide. God, I need You to protect. There's times you're kneeling and you're asking. But there's other times in your life that you're no longer kneeling in faith asking God, but you're standing and walking believing that God's answer has already been established and it is on the way. Two key misfires in the labor of faith. I'm going to introduce you to that word. The labor of faith. You know what that word labor means. It means something that you're working in. There is a labor in your life. Don't you feel this morning that you've got to a place that just because you are saved, that just because you're sanctified or filled with the Holy Ghost, that you can quit laboring in your faith? God wants you to prove Him over and over again. God wants to show you His hand in your life. God wants to heal our bodies. God wants to save our family. God wants us to trust Him when it seems like it is impossible. I believe there's times, if you don't mind me putting it this way, that there's a faith that puts a smile on the face of God. Amen. When He looks down at a man like Abraham and He acknowledges their faith. When He looks down at a man like Noah, a man that's going to build a boat who had never seen no rain. What's rain, Noah? A man that does that. A man like Moses, God acknowledges that. But my God, today, I believe He's looking in America. He's looking in the professing churches. Does He find anybody with that faith, and faith in this world today? Do we labor and actively believe? We're not just talking about passive believing, but I'm talking about active believing. I'm talking about works with our faith. So today, the laboring of faith, there are two key misfires. Number one is this: assuming prayer is unnecessary to bring the purchase of the cross to this earth. Have you ever heard anybody say this? If God's going to do it, He's going to do it. Anybody ever heard somebody say that? Well, I'm not going to pray. It's usually more of a Calvinist mindset. Hey, you can't move God to do it. Of course you can't twist God's arm, make Him do something He don't want to do. But God has a will in this world. And God has a purpose in your life. And God acknowledges, and He respects, I should say, if you don't mind me saying it that way, He looks at a man and respects his faith. Look at that centurion man that came to Jesus. Lord, you ain't got to come to my house if you just simply speak the word. And God, Jesus says, there is no greater faith. Look, this man's a Gentile. There's no greater faith than all of Israel. It's amazing that God acknowledged that in the Bible. The second key misfire is this. Assuming prayer is still needful when the position of faith is gained. Let me explain that. You come to the altar and you pray, and God gives you a definite answer. You go home, you pray again, God answer me. God answer me. If God gives you a word, and God answers you and gives you a position in faith, you can arise to your feet and you can stand on the promises of God. Let me give you a fine example here. What if all of a sudden, I've been now preaching since 2007. What if in 2007 when God spoke to my heart and called me to preach, what if I was still today praying and saying, God, do you want me to preach or not? You see what I'm saying? No, when God called me to preach and I knew it was His will, I got up from that prayer closet, so to speak. Doesn't mean I don't pray for strength. Doesn't mean I don't pray for grace and an increase to trust Him. But I'm not asking God if He wants me to preach. I know He wants me to preach because He's given me a position in faith. So hear me today, church. This is something that is missing in our churches. Sometimes God gives us an answer. Sometimes God gives us a promise. And we're standing groveling and wrestling with Him. God, do you want me to? Yes, God wants you to do it. Yes, God wants you to live a good life. Yes, God wants you to live holiness. Yes, God wants you to trust Him. You ain't got to keep praying and wrestling for that position when God has given it to you. You can stand on that and know that God is there to help you. Now, and let me give you another example. I've been married now a little bit over 5 years. I was sharing with Sister Molly last night. We were riding home. I was sharing with her of how I remember that me and Holly, if you don't take this stuff seriously, you don't take dating seriously, usually people end up out the will of God. It's miserable. It's miserable. I've counseled enough people. But hear me. I remember I'd call her up, honey. You know, we liked each other. I said, we need to take a break. You know, I said, because I feel like God wants me to spend more time with Him. Every time she called me up, I need to take 2 or 3 days. We don't need to talk. We need to pray. And I remember for years we did that back and forth because the whole time the Holy Ghost is showing us obedience. He's teaching us to learn His voice. He's teaching Derek Jones before there's a Holly Jones in your life. There's Jesus Christ and His will. Amen. Follow me here today. Before there's a Derek Jones in Holly's life, there's Jesus Christ and His will. And Jesus is more important than me. You understand that? Yes, God gives us these things, but we wrestle back and forth in that because we're praying and we're asking God for His will. If you never wrestle with the will of God in your life, and He's not teaching you to follow Him and obey Him, you'll end up in a place of being ineffective in His kingdom. My God, what a tragedy that is. I've thought to myself several times, well, if I just disobeyed God and all that, and we just did this our own will, I may not be here today because God was teaching me His voice then. And now today, I'm still learning His voice more and more, but it's more familiar to me because I was willing to learn then to put nothing in front of Christ and to trust Him and Him alone. I was telling Molly last night, Sister Molly, I said, I remember praying at the church. I said, Lord, I feel like it's the will of God. Is it the will of God? And I remember the sweetest peace came over me. And I felt in my heart, you can marry that girl. Now, he said, what'd you do? Did you get up and call her? No, I got up and called my pastor. Do things right, church. I don't know how you're taught or raised, but no, you respect your pain. I ain't saying that because I'm a pastor, but I did. I got up and called Brother Urban. I said, Brother, before I do anything, I want to talk to you. I said, I felt the Holy Ghost. I'm here at the church. I'm praying. I got a peace about this. Instantly, the Holy Ghost on the other end of the phone, it was the unction. He said, yeah, Brother Derek, Lord just confirmed it in my heart. He said, I've been praying about it for a while, but I feel a great peace about it as well. You know what I did then? I headed to Dunn, North Carolina. My point is this. What if I still was praying 5 years later, Lord, do you want me to marry Holly? She might not have waited for me, church. And I know I'm not good looking enough for her to stay around. I know that. Amen. I keep my cousin Adam. He's getting my. I said, you better lock her in as soon as you can, buddy. Amen. Give him a hard time. But what I'm saying is, what if I'm still down there in Eaton, North Carolina, praying, Lord, am I called to preach? And do you want me to marry Holly? No, when God gave me a position and I knew it was God, I got to my feet and I went to where she was. And I remember, I said, look, I know it's the will of God. It was a spiritual, wonderful time and a proposal there. I found the Holy Ghost in it all. What I'm saying is this, you can know things. Everything don't have to be a question mark. God can give you a settlement. He can give you a confidence in your faith that you can arise and stand in a position and know this is the will of God. What if Brother Glenn never would have came and established his church and would just have prayed for the last 40 years, Lord, do you want me to establish a church there or not? Many here would not be saved. You know that? But it's because Brother Glenn got a position and he rose up and said, God, I know what you want. You showed it to me. That is what a position in faith is. Now, this is what Reese Howe said. He says this. He said, further prayer would have shown a lack of faith. Think about that. Further prayer in the matter would have shown a lack of faith if he did not listen to the voice of God. Let's look at this. This breaking down the laboring of faith in the life of Elijah. Number one today, I want you to get this. We'll find this in 1 Kings 18. You don't have to go there. Number one is the hearing of faith. It is the hearing of faith. It's discerning God's agenda. Notice what it says in 18 and 41. There is a sound of an abundance of rain. Notice this. Elijah is a man who had prayed. It did not rain for 3.5 years. But all of a sudden the Bible says, this is what Elijah said, there is a sound of the abundance of rain. This is discerning God's agenda. This is, everybody else did not hear the rain. Elijah heard the rain. He was a man that had his ear attuned to the will of God. And it said this, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. So number one is the hearing there. It's when you hear and you're discerning God's agenda. Number two is the bending. It's knowing that God's agenda can only be accomplished by via prayer. It's when you say, look, God, I know you want to do this. But God, I know if you're going to do this, you're going to have a man that's going to pray and have faith. You're going to have a church that's going to have faith. Notice what he said he did next. After he heard the sound of the abundance of rain, Elijah went up to the top of Carmel and he cast himself down upon the earth and he put his face between his knees, knowing that he knows that God has an agenda, but he knows that somebody's going to pray and trust God in this. I'm telling you, church, I wonder how many times we miss the agenda of God because we do not pray, because we do not have faith, because we do not labor, because we do not persevere, because we do not sacrifice self-will to the place of getting down and praying through and knowing the mind of God. I believe that's the reason of lack of healing. Is it God's will to heal? I believe so. God's a healer. You'd have to remove a lot of scripture. Is it God's will to heal everybody? I know some people it's God's will to take them on. I know, look, Lazarus is raised from the dead. I know he died later. It happens. But I promise you this, there's got to be more healing than what we've seen. I know there's men and women that get sick and we don't understand it and they go to heaven and they get the ultimate healing. I don't understand all that. We wrestle with it. You wrestle with it. But we do know this, that we should be seeing more healings than what we see. Number one, you should have already heard from the Bible and discerned his agenda. He's a healer. But what I feel the breakdown is this. The bending. The knowing that God's agenda is to heal. But it has to be accomplished by prayer. And so there's a breakdown in the labor of faith. We know the agenda, but we do not persevere in prayer. Notice what the third part of the labor of faith is. The watching is seeking the breakthrough in the natural realm. Notice what he said. He said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. Notice this is still in the spirit of Elijah. He knows it's coming, but it hasn't come yet. So what does he do? The Bible says this. He said he watched, but notice what he does. Number four, the fourth point is this. Not only the watching, seeking the breakthrough, but then notice the precision. Sisters here, wrestling until the break of day, so to speak. Notice he said, go again 7 times. He said, look, I know it's not there yet, but go back again. I know I haven't seen the answer yet, but go back again. It's going back and back again. It's laboring in prayer until you see the answer that God has spoken to you that was coming. Seven times. I bet that servant, now, I like to think he was as spiritual as Elijah. But you can tell in his tone when he came back, it's just a little cloud, you know. He probably thought to himself, obviously he's obedient, thank the Lord for that. But man, he's coming back. There ain't nothing out there. I'll tell you, man, he come back and Elijah's down there, face between his knees, and he's in the dirt praying. Hey, no cloud. Go back again. Man, go back, come back. No cloud. Go back again. Go back seven times. That is the persistence. I'm telling you, church. Notice that number, the seven in the Bible, is a number of completion. We look at this and I'm telling you, in Luke chapter 18, you see about that widow woman who was bothering that king. He said, look, I better answer her before she weary me. I'm telling you, church, that is what God's looking for. It's a faith that says, Lord, I trust you. I may not see it yet, but I'm still trusting you. I still know your agenda. So I'm praying and praying and praying till I see a breakthrough in this prayer life in the natural realm. Notice then the witness, which is unique. The initial evidence that prayer work is finished. Look at this. It says, behold, there arose a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. I want you to follow me here. When that servant came back to Elijah this time, hey, Elijah, I see a little cloud. Now, how that's described, that'd be a little cloud. Some people say maybe because it's far distance, it was bigger. Whatever. He said a cloud size of man's hand. Okay, that's what he said. He came back. Basically what he's saying, look, you know, in this big open sky, there's just a little tiny puff out there. You know what I'm saying? And you're talking about we're supposed to have a hurricane type. You know, what are you talking about? All this rain, a monsoon, so to speak. Hey, Elijah, look, man, I know you're still praying, but there's one cloud up there the size of a man's hand. Follow me here. That's all you needed. And that's all he needed. Notice what he did next, the position of faith. Notice utter confidence that the rain is back of Israel. When he heard that, he said, go up and say to Ahab, go up and say to him, prepare thy chariot and get thee down. The rain stop thee not. Maybe the servant is thinking it's just a little cloud. But Elijah's saying, Lord, all I've got to see is a little bit. You told me it was coming. I'm not looking for a hurricane. Lord, you said there'd be a rain coming. If there's a little cloud out there, if you have a little word, if you have a little glimpse, if you have a little glimmer, it's enough when it comes to having faith in God. Maybe this is operated when there's a sickness and everything's negative and you're praying and you're praying and you're praying and you're persevering. And all of a sudden you hear the word. It's getting better. See what I'm saying? Maybe it comes with a lost loved one. Everything is bad and bad. You're praying, you're holding on. But all of a sudden you start seeing a glimmer of hope out there. Notice this is the position of faith. Notice this, how Elijah, even though it was a small cloud, he is speaking with utter confidence now. Notice number seven, the rain, the inevitable outcome of the real working of faith, that there is a great rain is there. He said pretty much you can take it to the bank. When God said something, you can trust Him, even if you're laboring in prayer. But take it to the bank, it will happen when you know the agenda of God. I won't exhaust this, but I want to show you that before you ever get into that position, I want to show you that a lot of times there is a test before you get there. And follow me here. The position of faith is always after the test of faith. 1 Peter 1:7 says this, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 6:13-15, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. That is the problem right there. A lot of times we do not obtain the promise because we do not patiently endure. Sometimes we want everything instant, everything so accessible, and sometimes you've got to patiently endure that promise before it is obtained. James 1:3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. A lot of times, brothers and sisters, a lot of times we do not obtain the position of faith because we often fail a test of faith. We have trouble trusting God over a test. But we got to find a position. Now, let me give you a good example, I feel, in Scripture. Look at David in the Bible. You know, we always look at David, the giant killer. You know, he walks out there. He takes a rock, five stones. He kills that giant, cuts his head off. David. But I want you to notice in the life of David that David said this, and David said more, but the Lord hath delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear. He will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with his armor and put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail, and David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had proved, because he had not proved it. Notice that. Here Saul is, take my armor, David. But guess what? He hasn't proven that armor. He hasn't tested that armor. But he has something that he has tested. On the backside of a desert, there was a bear and there was a lion. He didn't have a sword. He didn't have a helmet. He didn't have a breastplate. All he had was the name of the Lord. It had been proven to David. And he said to himself, and David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off. Notice what he said. I didn't kill the bear with this saw. I didn't kill the bear with this sword. Well, I guess what? He said, I've got a position that I established out there, and it's in the name of the Lord. So we look at this and understand the test of faith was the lion and the bear. But notice this, the position of faith was against Goliath. Notice what, when he went out against Goliath, there wasn't one iota of doubt in his mind. Hey, punk, you're going down. Do you see? You have to admire that. I read the story years ago about a kid who took the Sunday school lesson literal. And there was a boy that had been beaten up on him, the neighbor kid. And one day the mom was out there washing dishes, had the window open. It was a Sunday afternoon. She said she heard her son scream at the top of his lungs, I don't come to you with a spear and a sword, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. She looked out there. He had jumped on the back of that bully and was pulling his hair and everything else. He done took the Sunday school lesson literal. He said the bully didn't seem so big anymore. Amen. Don't you wish we get a hold of a little bit of that with the devil? Hey man, when we have a position, when we believe God, I heard this story well, and it's kind of a comical story. Obviously, it's not true. Animals don't talk, but it's kind of an illustration. There was a mouse one day, and you may have heard this story before. There was a mouse one day, and you know the story, old Tom and Jerry, how the cat's always trying to catch the mouse. And that mouse one day, that cat got going after him, and that cat, guess what? He had blocked the way to his little hole there, and that mouse ran down the steps down to the wine cellar. Obviously, the owner of the house, when a church going man, he went down there, and that mouse looked down there, and there was a little bit of wine that was dripping out of one of the barrels. He looked over there, and he was so thirsty that he lapped up some of that wine. And all of a sudden, that cat come down to the bottom of that cellar, and that mouse stood up on both his feet and began to show his teeth. And he said, you know what? And the story goes like this, that he got something in him that made him feel like he was bigger than the enemy. Look, I ain't endorsing drinking, you know that. But I'm telling you that we're not to be drunk with the wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And you can stand against the enemy. You can have a confidence against him. I wish in our churches we'd leave here with that much confidence. A position of faith. Now, I don't know how it happened with David. I won't be much longer. I know we're weary. But I don't know, you know, with the bear and the lion, you know, maybe when he killed that bear, you know, the first time, maybe the first time he went. You have to admit, would you be a little nervous? You know, I'm out there. I got in a fool with a wreck. When I was 6 years old, that's why if I ever shaved my head or go bald, you see a lot of scars up here. Had two concussions from it. Guy I was riding with had to get a metal jaw. Not making that up. We were going around a ravine back there behind the house, wide open, and you couldn't see the other fool coming. Hit on collision. But you know, we were back there. It was kind of called Bear's Corner because there were so many bears back there. And you know, when you're on a full wheeler, you don't worry about bears to me. But when you're laying there in the middle of a field, and you know, the day before, they seen Mama Bear and two cubs. You know, I was pretty nervous. If a bear come around that corner, I'd probably have been healed and ran. But anyhow, what I'm saying is, you know, the first time David was there and that bear come out, a little bit of fear may have been there. But maybe as he began to pray and said, Lord, with your strength, I'm going to protect my flock.
And maybe he killed that bear. Maybe it was a little tough at first. Maybe it was a little, maybe then the lion came. Follow me here. And guess what? It wasn't as tough as it was before with the bear, because he'd already established that God can kill a bear, he can kill a lion. I'm telling you, that's the same thing that happened to Goliath. The reason he had so much confidence, look, is because he's already been through a bear. He's already been through a lion. It's been proven and tested. I've got a position. Goliath, you're going down. Third point is this, and we're closing. Setting up a garrison, and let me explain. Once a position is gained, it must be kept. Follow me. Once a position in faith is gained, God gives you a word. You know it. You've got to protect that position. Because it will not be long before the adversary, the devil, the accuser, doubt, fear, and just being a human will show up. God, you didn't really say that. You know, as that happens, a lot of people get saved. I'm saved, Lord. I got a position in faith. I'm saved, Lord. The devil comes and says, you ain't saved. Same thing with the Holy Ghost. Notice this. 1 Timothy 6:20. Oh, Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Guard it, is what he's saying. 2 Timothy 1:14. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. I like to tell you today, you ain't got to keep it yourself. The Holy Ghost will help you if you depend on Him. The garrison, a garrison, when territory is gained, a regiment is always left behind to ensure that the newly acquired property is protected. So how do you leave behind a garrison? Number one, you remember your position. You remember how you defeated the lion, the bear. You remember what God helped you gain when you trusted Him. And you don't go back to a position of unbelief in the matter. Territory is gained. Territory is kept. That is what it has to be in your life as a believer. Anytime God gives you a position of faith and you're operating in that, it will be attacked. How many services do you come to church and God gives you a position of joy? He touches you that service, He reminds you of His promises, and you're standing on this end, regardless of my circumstances, I'm going to be a confident, happy, joyous believer. I will not doubt Him. You don't get 5 minutes down the road before the circumstances come up, and you have to guard the position that God gave you in the church and in the altar. How many knows what I'm talking about? Lord, I've got victory. You get down the road, the devil says, no, you don't. And you refer it back, you remember, you know what, devil? God gave me victory in that service, and guess what? You ain't taking it from me. I'm standing on this. There's some people that come to our churches and pray for 2 years over the same thing in our altar, because they cannot keep their position. Brother Kenny Morris, who is a pastor of pastors, very successful, he said there was a lady in his church that every service, she'd come from the back, she'd run up to the front, and she said, you know, first two or three times, he said, was there, they prayed through with her. He said, God would give them a word, He'd encourage her, and she'd leave there joyous, set free in the name of Jesus. Next service, run back to the altar. Same thing. Third time, same thing. Fourth time, he said, finally he looked at her and said, ma'am, look, God has helped you time, and gave you deliverance time and time again. Listen, he said, listen to me. He said, we'll pray through with you every time. But he said, I cannot sit here and quit preaching to everybody else, because you ain't mature enough as a believer to go home and live what God gives you in these altars. Church, hear me. God wants to give you victory. But every time you go home and you lose it because of your lack of praying and reading, you cannot expect God to keep on doing it and doing it and doing it and doing it without us or somebody saying, look, something's wrong here. That's all right, ain't it? God gives you a position. Won't you, like the Bible says, put on the whole armor of God and guard it? And you'll find yourself living in victory every day. Every day. I'm about to close here. Notice, this is what one writer said in closing here. Jude 1:3 says, earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Notice this, that Jesus has already left you a position. Jesus has already gained territory that the devil will never take from Him, because He's God. Isn't it good to know that when somebody goes before you and you're walking behind them and the road is paved, that you can stand in the position of salvation And God has already made the way for you to stand there. Guard that position. Now, going through this, closing this right here, Ephesians 1 and 20 says this, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places. Verse 2 and 6 of chapter 2, verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We have a position. Let's maintain that position. Stand to your feet all over the church. Now, I know we're tired this morning. I know long weekend, different things, church. But I want you to pray this morning. And I want God to help us here. I like what one writer said when it come to this. And it was men, there's a book, and I forget the name of the book. But it was a book that talked about Scottish kings. Different subject, I know. But it talked about these Scottish kings who were so adamant about gaining these positions in that kingdom that no matter what came their way, you'd have to read some of the quotes from some of these men who were so adamant that they stood. You know what? Tomorrow's Memorial Day. Do you know there was men that considered a position of freedom so important they died for it? Men that believed it so much that they would give their life for it. Church, I'm telling you, we've got to get to the place that the positions that God wants us to have in faith, we've got to pursue them with all of our might. Amen.